So this is episode 15 of the Antarctic Cast, and now we're in the middle of the summer season, so I think it's a good time to do an episode where I'm not interviewing anyone and just giving my impressions about the topic. So we're basically done with field trips. There are a couple more to happen before the end of the season, but the biggest part are already completed successfully. And yeah, so today's a Sunday. It was a free time in the station, and yesterday we came back from the field. We did a field camp, so we went to three remote sites to do maintenance in the Life of Halley experiments. As I mentioned, the three were successful. And in general, the work is not something very complicated, but it's quite physical, and also because you have to deal with factors like the wind is blowing on your face, or the sun and the radiation here is pretty strong, and you know, just being aware that you put the gloves on and you take the gloves off because you need to screw something in, carry the batteries out of the battery box, and then move to the other side of the camp, and then raise an antenna. There's a lot of digging involved, so it's a pretty intense work. And saying that, we've been doing that now for say 5 weeks, with five more to go. It takes how can I put it in good words? Like, it takes on your body. You see that over the season your condition kind of deteriorates, in a sense of you get tired. And then sometimes you see that you're a bit more irritated or less tolerant, and there's also the cabin effect, that we're all together in the environment which is pretty much closed. So we have maybe, I don't know, 5 kilometers of a perimeter we are allowed to go without a special permission. So we're pretty much 30 people living in a big confined environment where we also work, so we have stuff to do. It's not like a big brother, but it's a very interesting experience, both physically and mentally tough. And as I said, from the engineering point of view, that's probably like my least challenging job, but from this external factors, it gets to be pretty challenging at some point. And though there's always things that in any company that you might like more or less, but I think it doesn't belong, at least so much to this episode, to discuss that, because dirty laundry you clean at home, so I think it doesn't make sense to publicly bring all my opinions, at least in this point in time, of what I agree or disagree or like or dislike. So I try to do a more objective take on the subject. So far, one topic that I didn't, or I even tackled a bit in one episode, but I think it's worth revisiting. So just to give a impression of what a free day might look like, we watch series, or I watch series, and I'm watching a series in Netflix called Abstract, which I can really recommend. It's beautiful. It's about art and its characteristics, like design, architecture, bioengineering, and typeface design. It's pretty special series. There's one about playground design and design to play, that also show playground designing. So it's a pretty cool series on Netflix I can recommend. And we watch in the evening a movie tonight. It's called Doing the Right Stuff. It's about the US space program, which I like it okay. And there was also some game. We have a ongoing bar cup that involved like ping pong, pool, darts, and table soccer. And it's teams of three, and then we have this cup going on. So we had a match tonight that we draw three wins and three losses in those sports, because there's also double ping pong, double pool. And so this is about free time.
I'm also with a personal project for this year, so I'm trying to get my photos organized finally after maybe a decade of procrastination. And so I'm trying to do kind of classifying, I don't know, maybe 1,000 or 500 depending on the day and how much free time I have, pictures. And I went from 20,000 to 5,000, so it's 75% done. But it's not like a linear progress, it gets harder and harder the more you classify, because then you have a lot of pictures that don't really belong to any photo. But digressions apart, so those are just to mention a couple ideas of things that I've been doing in the station. And you play board games and other stuff. So what the next weeks will bring? So there is this week a race of my caboose, so I'm responsible for the C1 caboose, as I mentioned in a couple episodes ago, which is the electronic magnetic quiet area. And when something is raised from the snow, which is important because there is accumulation, as we discuss in many other episodes, there's also a lot of things to be done. So like cable management, you have cables in the top of the caboose that have to be uncoiled, that are leading to the experiments. And there is also, there'll be a depowering of this caboose. So it's a good opportunity, since the experiments will be done anyway, to do recabling. So those are things that are in my radar for next week. There's also a dish, like an antenna dish, similar to the ones from Sky, that is coming from a project called Mosaic. And yes, so those are a couple things that are in my radar. I created a thermal sensor for the surge coil magnetometer, for a flux gate. And I upgraded the GPS of the search coil magnetometer, which are those two projects that are related to measuring magnetic field of the Earth. Also part of this caboose, so next week will not be in the field, as the last was pretty much. And will be more like on-base activities. And let's see what else is interesting to share. I think it's worth giving a bit of a description of the buildings. I know there are some pictures in the internet, but I think I'll give my take on it. So, like, I live in a container that have kind of a snow shoe, and this can be dragged to move. So when there is a bit of accumulation, the level goes up. The next season you tow a bit, and then you move out of this hole. We have the building where the kitchen is, called the Drury, and it have a second floor where some people are living, so not all people are living in a container. In the container you have like four beds, so I have a top bed, because, yeah, I don't mind. And then there's a curtain, because it's bright all the time here. It feels like a bit of a coffin, like it's not shaped as a coffin. But when you close your curtain, you have your kind of your space, and which is something actually I value a lot, because I like, I don't know, sometimes having my own corner. And it's good when you live confined with so many people to have your own private space. And then there are the modules, which is this more iconic buildings from Halley that you see in the pictures. And I work in a top observatory. Or in the science building, one or two, I don't remember, I think. Yeah, doesn't matter. So there are two modules that are dedicated for science. And I'm in the last or the southernmost building from the modules. And there is one also before, which is also for science preparation. Mine is it's more like where the the office for the scientists is, and the labs. So we have the electronics lab and the mechanical lab. And the one before is more for assembly and packing. When we go to the field, we prepare there. So it's preparation. Before was also the place where the field guides had their kit, but now they moved to another building. And then there are two buildings, which are technical buildings, separated by a bridge. So imagine two science modules, one technical building, a bridge, another technical building. Then you have the leisure module, which have like the ping pong, table tennis, blah blah, a cinema room, the gym. I miss a lot climbing, so this is something that's very hard for me in the moment, because it's a big thing in my life, at least for the last half a decade. And here I can do some sports, which most of the time I don't, because, as I mentioned, the field work is very hard on your body. So when I have free time, I just want to relax a bit physically, because I know the next day I will be doing something that demands energy, or carrying something, or digging a hole, or, you know, skiing to the lab, and yeah. So in my free time, I'm not doing a lot of sports. It's very bad, especially because the food is quite good, and there's abundance of food. And when I'm living normally on my own, I'm always like, I'll go to the supermarket and get something to eat, and that's it. So it's not that the fridge is full. And here, yeah, you get too much food. So this is something that, again, that it's hard for me, the lack of climbing possibility. Like Halle as a place, it's absolutely flat, and we have no ice around for ice climbing, or there's even some walls that would be possible, but it's kind of sketchy, because they're made of snow, and you never know how the consistency of the layers of snow are. And so that's in no climbing lately. And I've been painting a bit, which for me it's a pretty nice hobby. It's a hobby that's easy to do when you're traveling. Just you have a couple brushes and watercolors and paper, so that's it. And for me it helps, as well as the organizing pictures, as taking me out of here, which is kind of like, you would say, well, you always wanted to go to Antarctica and now you're there, why do you want to imagine yourself out of there? And I think it's part of the game as well. So it's a harsh environment, although it has not been so cold or windy. Actually, the weather has been quite mild. But from the factors I described before, and I don't know, I have nothing against trees or, you know, plants or mountains. So the fact that I'm here doesn't mean that I don't miss those stuff. And painting gives me the opportunity of, I don't know, bringing a bit this stuff back to my life. So it's something I've been enjoying a lot. The other thing that's interesting is that since we are here, let's say, at work all the time, because the station is in theory a 24-hour place, meaning we could have an emergency and you are kind of have to be ready at all times. But that saying, when you finish work, you're also with the same people, which also have some sort of psychological effect. Because any work, you have discussions, and there are people you like more and people you like less, and this is kind of normal. So after work, you can, here you cannot avoid the people, not that you want necessarily, but like, you will be spending time with the same people. And there's two good strategies. One is like liking people, which is kind of like, well, it doesn't really always happen that way. And the other one is spending time with the people you like, because there are 30 people. It's not that you have problems or you had a stress or anything with everyone. Just go and talk with the ones you feel the most, the closest, or you enjoy the most, and that's it. So I think that's also an interesting detail from the station. And let's talk about a bit the field trip. When we go to the field, or in this case that we had a multi-day, we have a setup, which is this Link Traveling, which is a skidoo. You can imagine a skidoo as being a jet ski, but made for snow. Then After the skidoo, you have a sledge full of stuff, and stuff is like fuel, a reserve tent, a lot of food, and yeah, first aid kit and other stuff. This is called half unit. Then you have another skidoo linked to the sledge. So you have skidoo linked to a sledge, linked to a skidoo, linked to another sledge, which it's even bigger. It's called full unit, and it have a bigger tent for three people, more food, more emergency kit, whatever things we take. Have also a poo pop pot, because when we go to the field, we're not allowed to leave human waste all over the continent. So we create kind of a bathroom with a tent, and under this tent there is a wooden plate, which is a toilet seat. And under the toilet seat, then you have a plastic container to take back to base the human waste. Then, what else? There's a pee flag, so if you want to pee in the field, you're allowed to, but to keep not the whole place a mess, there's a designated place for that. And then there is the tent where we humans live. So there's a setup with a wooden board. And the wooden board is because the human body, even though you have a isolating mat, it will conduct heat to the snow and will melt a hole, so your surface ground will not be flat anymore. It's quite uncomfortable if you're spending many nights. So you have a wooden plate. Then you have an isolating mat. And you have kind of a sheep carpet of some sort. Then you have your sleeping bag, and for the sleeping bag, often when we're cooking, there's a cover, because sleeping bags are quite flammable, to protect from that. And there's also a inliner, because the sleeping bag will be used potentially by other people, so it's easier to clean the liners than the sleeping bag. So we put a liner before getting in the sleeping bag. And the cooking set, it's kind of like, it looks very old-fashioned, as well as a tent. But there's one thing that I was talking with a friend, and you have to imagine that Antarctica for many decades was a pretty deadful environment. So like, people would really die at work because there were mistakes or because the setup was not perfect. And now the company came up with a setup that works, that people are in principle safer. And of course they are quite conservative in not changing this. That's why we have the same kit for winter as for summer. And in the winter the conditions are much worse. It's a lot colder and darker, and yeah, it's much worse. But they say, well, let's keep one consistent setup that works. And if it works for the winter, it will also work for the summer. So we have this pyramid tents, and those are pretty heavy, so a tent could be 40 kilos. It takes about 1 hour to build, because you have to dig a hole in the corners to put the poles, and then the tent in the middle is just snow, so you have to put the cloth, and on top of the cloth you're going to put the previously mentioned wooden plates. And then those tents are very strong, so for winds of hundreds of kilometers per hour. So they will work even under the most extreme situations. And to give two insights on the field trip, then, as I mentioned, we have this cooking set. So we're gonna cook a meal in the morning, like a breakfast, like porridge or whatever. Doesn't necessarily have to be a hot meal, but often it is, or a tea or coffee. And then we're gonna do work and gonna do lunch in the same scheme. In this trip we had often a soup or something that for lunch, which is a package, and you put this package in a pot. And you're gonna like warm the water and then put this in contact inside the boiling water, and this will heat up. And also we had food that you put just like boiling water inside, and then it will cook inside this plastic container. So you open the container, put water inside and this will cook the meal. So there are those two types, and we had mostly the one you just put in hot water for lunch, and the one you put hot water in for dinner. And as I described in other episodes, so it's pretty bright outside all the time. It means also that the tent will be bright during the whole period. And so it's a bit of like, I don't know, you have to be good at sleep or have a mask or something like that. Because otherwise you won't sleep because it's bright all the time. And the weather changes a lot since we're staying 2-3 days in the field. Some days you have no contrast and you couldn't skidoo back home. And some days the sun is shining, blue skies, and the weather conditions are perfect. So then it's much safer. And the whole point of having this extreme redundancy in a lot of, like, they have food for maybe weeks, even though we're planning to spend 3 days there. It's because if the weather gets terrible, you don't have to hurry and go back to base. You just take your time, spend one more day. It's bad for the, let's say, season plan. It's a lot safer than venturing in the outdoors in harsh conditions. And let's see what else. Talk a bit about future week, the last week. Free time in the station. I think it's a good moment to stop this episode, perhaps. So, as always, I'd like to thank people that are taking the time to listen to that. Let's see. So, 1 month of the season is gone. 1 month of the season is coming or to go. And let's see what this will bring in future episodes. So, yeah. See you in the next one.